Wow, let's give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, youth band, for playing tonight. I'm going to ask you to stand with me and take your copy of God's Word and turn it to Psalms chapter 127 as we are still currently in our series, Summer in the Psalms, cultivating a heart of worship as we look into the wonderful Psalms. And tonight we'll be looking at one of the songs of degrees from none other than Solomon. Psalms chapter 127. And since we're ending our family Wednesday night series with the kids, and Awanas is beginning to start, and we'll have a shift in our ministry in the next few weeks ahead, we thought we would wrap up our Wednesday night summertime program by simply just talking about the family and sharing about the family for just a few moments. So Psalms chapter 127 and verse number 1 reads like this: Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, and to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Look at verse number 3. Lo, children are in what? Heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his, God's reward. I want you to be seated, and we're going to talk about this tonight. And basically, I'm going to ask the question, who's building your house? The Bible says in verse number 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So I'm asking you the question tonight, who is building your house? Who's taking care of things within your home? And hopefully you will agree with the psalmist tonight and walk away encouraged by the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we are so delighted to be in your house tonight. Another Wednesday night you have given us, Lord, to come into your house to worship you in spirit and in truth. And God, we truly do love you tonight. We thank you, God, for your salvation. God, we thank you for your great grace. Lord, we stand here tonight in awe and wonder, Lord, how much that you love us, that you forgive us, that we stand here tonight, Lord, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And God, we stand in a position of mercy and grace and favor. Lord, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. And I pray as we look into your Word tonight, that you would help us to build a home that is truly built upon the foundations of the Word of God. Bless our families. Watch over our parents. Lord, our children. God, I pray that you would use them greatly. What a blessing it is to see our children on this stage. Lord, and our young people taking leadership within the church. I pray, God, you provide for them and help them, Lord, to carry that leadership from the sanctuary to the school. And God, throughout the community, bless Kyle, Lord, and Justin, and the other youth leaders, Lord, who are leading our young people. God, I pray that you bless them tonight. Bless this service, Lord. May you lead us and guide us and direct us in all that we endeavor to do for you. And we will thank you for it. And all God's people can say, amen. Now, I want you to give me a great big amen if you agree with this statement. And here's the statement. Anyone can build a house, only God can build a home. Amen. Amen? That is so true. Anybody can build a house, but it only takes God and God alone to build our homes. And that's exactly what our text says tonight in Psalms 127, verse number 1. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So anybody can build a house, but it takes God to build our homes. It takes God to build our hearts and help us to be what the Lord has called us to be. Now, parents, I want you to ponder this statement for a moment, all right? When you think about childbirth and bringing children into the world, the pain of childbirth is twofold. It is twofold. Number one, the pain of bringing a child in the world. Then number two, the pain of bringing the child up in the world. It's twofold, is it not? You know, they say that a woman's physical pain that she has during childbirth is absolutely tremendous, but it only lasts for a few hours. Raising a child and the pain of raising that child lasts a lifetime. We all have gone through times of adversity and trials in raising our children. We're not saying that raising children are a pain, though I could question that at a time or two in my life. We're not saying that raising them are a pain. We're saying that there are pains that go along the way in raising our children. Sometimes parents don't do the right things. Sometimes parents don't say the right things. I've been guilty of that myself. Sometimes I overcorrect. Sometimes I'm too stern. Sometimes I might be a little loud. Sometimes I might be a whole lot loud. Sometimes I might be a little soft. And sometimes I may not be loud at all. And so we've all made mistakes when it comes to being parents. And I found out very, very quickly that as soon as I had children, I thought I had all the answers. But as soon as I had kids, I realized I don't have all the answers. That's like one guy one time, he said, you know, before I got married, I had 6 theories about bringing up children. Now I have 6 children and no theories. You know, you think you have all the answers, but you don't. Sometimes it's difficult connecting with that teenager and getting down to their level and understanding how they see life and how they perceive things to be true. Well, fortunately for all of us, God gives us some direction so we all can stay connected as the people of God. The home can be built in harmony and love if we allow the Lord to help us. So I'm going to give you 3 strategies tonight, all right? And I'm talking to our parents tonight to help you to establish a godly home. 3 strategies for you, for my home, and for everybody in this church in order to build a happy and blessed home for the Lord. Look at verse number 3. Here's the first strategy. Spiritually direct your children. I think it's important for you to spiritually to direct your children. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Now, I want you to notice a key word in verse number 3. It's the word heritage. Now, that word heritage, the very unique word in the Hebrew text, basically in the Hebrew, it would mean possession or it would mean property. So when the Bible is saying that children are a heritage of the Lord, listen, the Bible is saying that children are the property of God. Children are the possession of God Almighty. That means that that child that you have that was born to you and to your family, that means that that baby is not just born from below, it is also given from above. Amen? It's not only born from below, from the mother's womb, but also it is given by God from up above. The Bible says that children, these kids here, they are the property and the possession of the Lord. So when you look at your child tonight, you need to look at them and say, that is heaven's gift to me. Now, sometimes that's really hard when you're looking at your children and you look and say, that's heaven's gift to me. How many people's power went out the other night during the storm? Anybody? Our power went out. I think the power went out all over Ringgold. Well, it was late and the power was out and we had some candles lit. So I thought, well, I better go upstairs and check the bedrooms, make sure the kids don't leave a candle on so they burn the house down at night while we're sleeping there. And so I walk upstairs into Heather's room and I open up the door. And as I open up the door in the darkness of the night with no lights on, I trip and fall and stumble over all sorts of obstacles that are laying in the floor. All of a sudden the lights come on and there she is, mouth wide open, slobbering on her pillow, hair all turned up this way, and it's just it looks like a cyclone had went through her bedroom. Now it was difficult for me to say, there's heaven's little child. That's God's gift to me, huh? My van has been wrecked 3 times this year. Haley's wrecked it twice and Jake's wrecked it once, all right? Heather is yet to be, all right? I just got the van fixed. We spent X amount of dollars getting a brand new door on the back of it, brand new bumpers and all this and that, had everything fixed, spit shine, ready to go, and Jake backs into the retaining wall and smashes it with another $800 worth of damage on the back of it. I want you to know it was very difficult for me after spending money just a few weeks before to get it fixed. Someone had ran into my father-in-law, as a matter of fact, after I got it fixed, it was difficult for me to say, Jake, you're heaven's little child, you know. You're God's gift to me, son. Wouldn't you agree tonight? Sometimes it is difficult to say those things, but the fact of the matter remains this. No matter how messy the bedroom, no matter how many times they wreck the vehicle, no matter how many times they mess up in life, those 3 children God has given me, they are a gift from above, and I love all three of them. No matter what happens in life, no matter what they do, no matter where they go, no matter what happens to them along the way, I love them. They are my children. They are the three individuals that God has placed in my life, and your children are the children that God has placed within your life. And I need to understand, and you need to understand, that the Bible says that children are a heritage of the Lord. They don't belong to me. They belong to God. God has given my three children to me as a steward, as their dad, to watch out over them, to protect them, and to guide them, and to discipline them, and all these things that they can do something with their life for the glory of God. So the directive of the Bible in building a godly home is, parents, you've got to spiritually direct your children. The Bible tells us in verse number 4, watch this. It says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of thy youth. Now notice verse 4 gives us this description and says that children, they're like an arrow. Now an arrow basically has two purposes. If it doesn't fulfill these two purposes, an arrow is absolutely useless. Two purposes. One, first of all, it has to be aimed in the right direction. When that hunter takes his bow and grabs that arrow's got to be aimed in the right direction. Second of all, that arrow has to hit the target. If it's going to be useful and it's going to get its job done, it's aimed in the right direction and it's got to hit the target. The same can be said of our children tonight. The Bible says they are arrows. You and I are to aim them in the right direction. Which direction is that? Straight up to God. We are to aim them straight at God. God, we want you to use our children. God, we want them to hit your heart. God, we want them to hit heaven. God, we want them to be blessed by the anointing of the power of the Spirit of Almighty God. An arrow is useless unless it is aimed in the right direction, and it hits the target every single time. The Bible calls our children arrows. Let me ask you tonight, are you aiming them in the right direction? I can tell you as a dad, all three of my kids are different. All three of them. All three of them have some similar likes, but they're different in many, many, many ways. They all have different talents. They all have different qualities. They definitely all have different temperaments. They are three separate individuals. My job as a dad is to take those temperaments and to see that giftedness and to see those qualities, and I'm to take them as an arrow and aim them in the right direction. I'm to discover what God has placed on the inside of them and pull it out, and then I'm to help develop that and encourage that and help them along the way. Point them in the right direction, and hopefully they will hit the mark of where God wants them to be. Mom and Daddy, your job tonight is to discover what God has placed on the inside of your children's heart. If they're a musician, pull it out of them. If they're an artist, pull it out of them. If they're a singer, pull it out of them. If they're a mathematician, pull it out of them. Whatever it may be, you find out what God has gifted them with, and you pull it out and you point them in the right direction to bring God honor and glory and praise. If you believe that, say amen. You know why? Because your children ought to be precious to you. As a matter of fact, they are so precious. You know why? You cannot take wealth to heaven. No matter how precious your wealth may be, you're not taking one penny to heaven. Not one dime are you taking to heaven. Your wealth, you're not taking to heaven. You're not taking your house to heaven. No matter how clean your house is, no matter how beautiful your home may be, it could be the fanciest home in Catoosa County, you're not taking your wealth, you're not taking your house, you're not taking your retirement plan with you. Your 401k and your IRAs, you're not taking them with you, but you are and you can take your children with you to heaven. Can you say amen? You can take your children to heaven with you by telling them about the wonderful news of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the tragedy of the day with most homes is that children are being launched without being aimed. We're throwing our children out into the world. We're throwing the darts out in the world, the arrows out in the world, but we're not aiming them in the right direction. We're aiming them in the wrong place each and every time, and there's no spiritual direction. I read a great illustration this week, and it said in ancient China, the people had discovered and desired security for their enemies to the north. So they built, you know, the Great Chinese Wall. It was so high, nobody could climb over the wall. It was so thick that nobody could knock the wall down. And the people felt like they had security. They built something so high nobody could climb up, so thick nobody could push down, and they thought, we are totally secure. In the first 100 years, there was three times that the people were invaded and the enemy penetrated the wall. They didn't climb over the wall to get in. They didn't bust the wall down to get in. You know what they did? They bribed the gatekeeper every single time, three times, and he opened up the gate and he let the enemy in. Here's what happened. The Chinese people, they were so concentrated on building a wall, they never built their children. They never taught their children integrity. And because of a lack of integrity, somebody opened up the gate and the enemy came in. You know what? We can build our homes. We can build our retirement. We can have retirement so high and so thick. We can have homes so high and so thick. We can have all the security in the world. But if we are not building our children and teaching them integrity, I'm here to tell you, they will be the very door where the devil will creep into their heart, and you will find burdensome times for your family, for your home, and for your heart. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it's high time we take the bloodstained banner and we lift it up in our homes and in our hearts and tell our children the wonderful truths of the Word of God. If you believe it, say amen. And so teach your children integrity. Make sure there is some spiritual direction when it comes to your children, all right? Let me give you the second strategy. Ready? Number two, lovingly discipline. And I emphasize lovingly discipline your children. Now, remember what the Bible says in verse number, what is it, 3? Number 4, the Bible says that children are arrows. Have you ever shot an arrow? How many has ever shot an arrow before? What's some of the things you have to do to an arrow? Sometimes you got to fix the feathers on the back. You've got to straighten those feathers so that the arrow will fly straight. If it's crooked or if it's twisted a little bit, it's not going to fly straight. The aerodynamics are going to be messed up. So you make sure that the feathers on the back are straight. And sometimes you got to sharpen that dull tip on the end. You got to make sure it's sharp so it penetrates the target. What is true of an arrow is true of our children. Sometimes we've got to straighten their feathers. Amen? My mom and daddy called that an old-fashioned whooping. That's what they call that. They straightened my feathers, okay? There were times that I was flying crooked. I was going the wrong way. And my mom and my dad had a way of straightening my feathers. When we were growing up, my mom used to spank us with a switch. Anybody ever been spanked with a switch? All right. Well, she was old-fashioned like that. And she grew this bush in the back of our yard. And I think it was for the purpose of just us going over there and getting a switch. And me and Billy, we should have been switched many times. My mother has a great reward in heaven for just raising me and my brother. But she would make us go there and break off that switch. And if you brought a small switch to her, well, she spanked you with that and made you go get a bigger one. You know, she wasn't messing around. I don't believe in beating our children, but I do believe in disciplining our children. Amen? I don't believe in abusing our children, but I do believe that we ought to discipline our children. That is, we need to make sure that their feathers are straight. And we need to make sure that that dull edge, maybe it's a dull attitude, a dull behavior, or whatever it may be, we need to sharpen it and sharpen those skills so that that arrow can fly straight and that arrow can hit the target every single time. Now, you know this old saying, right? If you spare the rod, you what? Spoil the child. Now, somebody will say, well, the Bible says, ha, you know, and they'll start preaching that away. The Bible says, ha, spare the rod, spoil the child. Well, that's not in the Bible. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Get your concordance out. You're not going to find it in there. But you will find many principles that state that very thought. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Boy, that's some strong words, huh? He that spares the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That is, let me say it this way. He that doesn't discipline his son, doesn't spank him, discipline him, he don't love him. Basically, if you are not disciplining your child, you're not loving your child. Now, I didn't understand that when I was growing up. My dad used to get us on the side, and he would say, now, son, this is going to hurt me worse than it's going to hurt you. And I used to think, well, Dad, just go easy on yourself and let me go, you know, there's no need to get emotional about this, you know, I won't do it again, you know, this is going to hurt me, you know, worse than it's going to hurt you. Well, I didn't realize that actually at that moment, he was loving me. He was loving me. When he was disciplining me, when he sat me down and told me not to do this and not to do that, it was my dad loving me. That's what the Bible says. He that spareth his rod hates his son, but he that loves him chases him over and over and over and over and over again. For the lifetime that he's within his home, that mama and that daddy is directing their children, lovingly disciplining their children. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, I don't know about you. You know, I was never a super big person on timeout. My mother wasn't. My mother wasn't into timeout. She was into knock you out. That's what she was into, all right? You know, there was no such thing. I could just imagine my mom raising me and Billy, telling us timeout. You know, we would just probably have laughed hysterically at that and went about our business and never listened to her. She was more into knock you out, you know, and you're going to listen to me and you're going to. I was scared of my mom, you know. When Dad was at work and my mom was home, she was raised in a family. There was 10 of those kids, and she was one of the older ones, so she was already a pro by the time me and Bill came along. She had brothers and sisters. She had to stop school her sophomore year because my grandfather had left and left the family and all this and that, and so she had to make sure that she took care of the kids, and so she was an old pro by the time we came around, and there was nothing we could get by with our mom. She could see when we were lying. She knew if we were deceiving. She knew if we were doing something mischievous. Boy, she was an old pro, and I was a lot scareder of my mother than I was my dad. And my mom used to say sometimes, you wait till your daddy gets home. And I was thinking, boy, let's do that, you know. I'm in for that, you know, let's do that, because I was scared of my mom. And why? Because she made sure that she disciplined her children. My dad worked swing shift. My mom was home more than my dad. Dad working swing shift, sometimes he was there during the weeks. You guys who work swing shift, you know how that is. And my mom carried a big burden in making sure she was taking care of two rowdy little boys when they were growing up. But you know what? I'm glad that she did. Because in those times, my mom and my dad were disciplining me, and they were showing me what was right and wrong. Now as an older man, I look back and I realize they were just loving me. They didn't want me to make the mistakes, perhaps, that they made. They didn't want me to make the mistakes that perhaps other children in that time was making, out of loving concern for me. And that's what the Bible is teaching us here. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11, verse 12, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. It's exactly what God does to us. As I correct my children in a loving manner, God corrects me in a loving manner. God disciplines his children. If you're sinning and you're wandering away from God, understand this. God knows exactly where you're at. God's seen exactly what you did today. God heard every single word that was uttered. God knows every text message, picture, Twitter, Facebook. God sees every single bit of it. And guess what? You will give an answer for that one of these days. One of these days, you'll stand before God and you will give an answer how you took the gifts of God, that is the technology that we have today, and whether you used it for good or you used it for bad. And you'll stand before God and you will actually give an account of the words that you put in electronic print, even on Twitter. That's bad stuff for some of you. Tonight, the altar should be full. You ought to be getting right with God. Can you say amen? Huh? That's God. Listen, that Facebook, that's God's book. Amen? Ought to make sure that you're doing it right. You see, the Bible says if you are a child of God, God says, I'm going to chasten you. If God does that to me, then my responsibility and your responsibility as a parent is to make sure that we are lovingly disciplining our children. Dr. James Dobson puts it this way. He says, the parent must convince himself that punishment is not something he does to the child, It is something he does for the child. His attitude towards his disobedient child is this: I love you too much to let you behave like that. And that is so true. I love you too much to allow you to go in that type of direction. One commentator said this, and I don't have it on the screens, but listen, he said, the Christian home is the most important institution in the world. That does not minimize the position of the church and state. They also have been ordained of God, but he places the home first, in time as well as in importance. It is the foundation upon which all other institutions are built. Upon it, the church and state will either stand or fall. What the homes are, the churches and schools are, and the government will be. Every place where there has been a neglect of home responsibility, there eventually has been a crumbling of the nation. And that is so true. You see, what happens with our kids, mom and dad, if discipline don't start at home, if there is disobedience and no discipline within the home, you're going to raise a child that's going to have disobedience in the school. It will go from the school, it will carry into the state, and one of these days you find your children behind prison doors. There was a boy that I had seen grow up here in this community, and I've always told my son, I said, that boy is going to be in jail one of these days. You mark my word. He is going to get in trouble, and he's going to be in jail one of these days. And my words came true just a few weeks ago when he was arrested and he was put in jail. You see, if there is no discipline in the home, then there's going to be no discipline within the school. They're going to ignore it. If they ignore it at home, they're going to ignore it at school. If they ignore it at school, they're going to ignore it on the state level. And they find themselves in a whirlwind of a mess. Mom and dad, you've got a great responsibility. You are to lovingly discipline your children. If you believe that, say amen. Last of all, okay? Emotionally develop your children, all right? You lovingly discipline them. You are to spiritually direct them. But then emotionally, you develop your children. Now, I thought this was very interesting. Educators in childhood development, they may waver a little bit on this back and forth, but basically they say 60 to 65% of a child's working vocabulary is acquired by the age of 3. 80% of their character is formed by the age of 5. 90% of their personality is formed by the age of 7. Basically, what they're saying is, in that small window of time and that child's development, there's a lot that needs to be poured into that child. From the age 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 years old, there's all sorts of things that are forming within that little bitty human mind. That means you've got this window of opportunity to develop your child emotionally. That is, to set their heart towards the things of God, to set their heart toward the priority of the Word of God, to help them emotionally establish who they are as a person in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that responsibility falls upon the parent. And so let me give you the ABCs of some disciplines for parents. We're going to go through A through Z, and these are the things that you need to do as a parent in order to develop your children emotionally. You ready for this? A, always trust them to God's care. Always. Always trust in the God's care. B, bring them to church. Bring them to church, and you come with them. Amen? Don't drop your kids off at church and go back home and watch TV. You come to church and you worship with your children as a family. If your kids are here on Wednesday night, don't drop them off in a youth group. Mom and dad, you come on to church, you come to the auditorium, and you do your part. Your home will be a whole lot better when you're worshiping as a family. Amen? You bring them to church. C, challenge them to high goals. Let them dream big, all right? D, delight in their achievements. E, exalt the Lord in their presence. F, frown on evil. Don't brag on it. Don't exalt it. Don't encourage it. You frown on evil. Give them love. H, hear their problems. I, ignore not their childish fears. No matter what they're going through, they go through all sorts of different fears. You don't ignore them. You listen to them. J, joyfully accept their apologies. Doesn't matter how heated the argument may be, or doesn't matter how big the disagreement may have been, you joyfully accept their apology, love them, and move on. You keep their confidence. Live a good example before them. Make them your friends. You know, your children should not be your enemy tonight. They ought to be your friend. Somebody say amen, huh? And never ignore their endless questions. Oh, open your home to their visits. Pray for them by name. Quicken your interest in their spirituality. Remember their needs. Show them the way of salvation. Teach them the work. Understand they are still young. Verify your statements. That is, mom and dad, clarify what you mean. Make sure you make it plain. You make sure you spell it out. And there's no negotiation to that. I don't negotiate with my children. When dad says this is the way it's going to be, period, behind that statement, all the Samson kids said amen, right? Mom and dad, you shouldn't be negotiating with your kids. You shouldn't. It's beyond me that we live in a world where it seems like the children have more rights than the parents. Don't negotiate with your children. If you say you're not going to do this, you're not going to do it. If you're not going to hang out with this person, you're not going to hang out with them. You're not going to do that. You set the rules and the standard. Your kids will appreciate it later. When they have children of their own, and they look back and they thank God that mom and daddy had a strong back and a sharp mind, and they were willing to stand their ground and do the right thing. Don't negotiate with your kids. You set the rules down, and you abide by the word of God. Can you say amen? Verify your statements. Warn them of bad company. I told you a few moments ago, I said, Jake, that boy's going to be in jail one of these days. You mark my word. And sure enough, he's already in jail. You warn them of bad company. And you can see it coming, mom and dad. Don't be shy. Don't be shy and just, you know, say, well, I don't want to be rude. It's all right to be rude when you're raising your kids. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's all right to offend when you're sticking up for your family. It doesn't matter what the opinion of Mr. and Mrs. Hairball is. Amen? What opinion matters is God's opinion. You stand up for your children and you warn them of bad company. And you stick your ground. Amen. That's good preaching there, coach. Amen? All right? X, all right? We expect them to obey. We yearn for God's best for them. And then we zealously guide them in the biblical truth. You say, wow, Brother David, that's a lot. You know, how am I going to keep up with all of that? How am I going to do all of these things? It takes two things, all right? I'm going to quit. It takes two things. You ready for this? Number one, it takes you, all right? It takes you. It takes a commitment from you as a parent that you're going to do what is right. Let me give the second thing. You ready for this one? This is the big one. It takes time. Takes time. To do all those things that we said, takes time. I'm still growing as a parent. My oldest will be 20 years old here in just a few weeks in September. He'll turn 20 years old. Me and Melissa have been married here this weekend, our anniversary, 22 years this coming weekend. I am still growing as a parent. You see, it takes me, my commitment for God to build our home, but also it takes time. And as time goes on, God shows me things, I learn things, I fail, I stumble, but then I achieve and I overcome. It's a process that goes back and forth. And as a result, I'm growing and my children are going. You see, who's building your house today? You or God? Are you a part of the solution? Are you part of the problem in your home? Only you can decide tonight. God knows the answer. I'm asking you to look into your heart and ask God, God, I want you to build my home. Anybody can take care of a house, but God, it takes you to build my home. If you'll take those three disciplines tonight, apply them to your family situation, I guarantee you this, your home will be holy. Listen, your home will be holy and your home will be happy if you apply those three things. If you believe it, say amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. And God, I'm thankful for the families that are here. And Lord, honestly, I stand before them today not as a perfect parent. Lord, my own family even knows that. Lord, we all stumble. We all fall, Lord. We all make bad decisions, Lord. There's many times, Lord, we've done things wrong as parents. And so, God, I confess tonight, and hopefully everyone else in this room, Lord, we will confess that we need you. God, we need your wisdom, your grace, your guidance. Lord, we need tough love, but we need tender love. Sometimes it's a difficult balance being tough and tender at the same time. But with your Holy Spirit within our heart, God, we know that, Lord, we can achieve that. Lord, I love my family. I love my children. Lord, I love the kids of this church. I love our families here within this church. And my prayer for them is, Lord, that you would bless them and watch out over them and guide them along the way. In Jesus' wonderful, glorious name we pray, and all God's people can say, amen.